Arkasna.
Yeah, please stay, because we're a little bit lazy, I'll admit. Usually we write a verse on the board. But
it's not also laziness. If we are a little bit understaffed, and so the devotee already writes a verse on the board at one point, otherwise it just becomes a little bit too much. So, and this system works quite nice. Let me just refresh my mind. I think it's 24:17, chapter 17.
Chapter 17.
Yeah, text 24.
Text 24.
It's called Traditions of Faith. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we are reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, chapter 17. Called. Okay. Chapter 17. The Divisions of Faith. And we will be today studying text 24 and perhaps 25. Let's see how it goes. So, if you like, you can repeat. I will be reading from the word for word. This is usually how it's done. Because the word for word, it's a little bit different than the Sanskrit. Like the first word, you can see, because it's a phonetic language. So the first word is tasmat with a D, but the actual word is tasmat with a T. So, but because it's phonetic, then I don't know exactly Sanskrit, but it changes. So we'll just do the word for word, then you can get an idea, and then we'll do the verse responsively also. So please repeat, tasmat, om, iti, udharicha, yagya, dhana, tapaha, kriyaha, pravartante, vidana uktaha, satatam, brahmavadinam, tasmatom ichyudaritya, tasmatom ichyudaritya, yagya dana tapakriya, pravartante vidanokta, satatam brahmavadinam, tasmatom ichyudaritya, tasmatom ichyudaritya, yagya dana tapakriya, pravartante vidanokta, satatam brahmavadinam, tasmatom ichyudaritya, yagya dana tapakriya, pravartante vidanokta, satatam brahmavadinam. Tasmat om ichyudaritya, yagya dana tapakriya, pravartante vidanokta, satatam brahmavadina. Would you like to try?
No, I'm okay. I can't.
it's just reading.
Oh, but it's hard, is it? Tasmat om iti udati. Dharitya.
That's not very bad. Tasmat om ityo dharitya.
Yanya dana tapa kriya.
Yakya dana tapa kriya.
Pravartante vidanokta.
Pravartante vidanokta.
Satatam brahmavadinam.
Satatam brahmavadinam. Thank you. Very good. Would you like to try?
I'll try.
Good. Tasmat om ichu dharitya. Yagya dana tapakriya.
Pravartante vidhanokta.
Pravartante vidhanokta.
Satatam brahmavadinam.
Satatam brahmavadinam. Thank you. Okay, please repeat the word for word. Tasmat.
Tasmat.
Therefore.
Therefore.
Om.
Om.
Beginning with Om.
Beginning with Om.
Iti.
Iti.
Thus.
Thus.
Udaritya.
Udaritya.
Indicating.
Indicating.
Yagya.
Yagya.
Of sacrifice.
Of sacrifice.
Dhana.
Dhana.
Charity.
Charity.
Tapaha.
Tapaha.
And penance. Kriyaha,
Kriyaha,
performances,
performances.
Pravartante,
Pravartante,
begin,
begin.
Vidana uktaha,
according to scriptural regulation,
satatam,
satatam,
always,
always.
Brahmavadina,
Brahmavadina,
of the transcendentalists. Translation. Therefore, transcendentalists undertaking performances of sacrifice, charity, and penance in accordance with scriptural regulations begin always with Om to attain the Supreme. Purport. Om Tat Vishnu Paramam Padam, Rigveda 1:22-20. The lotus feet of Vishnu are the supreme devotional platform. The performance of everything on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead assures the perfection of all activity. So we'll recite a very nice prayer, and I will just guide you to page number one. It's not the beginning, because there's an introduction and there's some Roman page numbering for the preface. So I want you to go to the introduction. It's page number one. You don't have to go there, but I'm just going to recite these prayers, and then you at least kind of know what I'm saying. It's not very important, but I thought I'd just let you know. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadhati Svaparantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Parakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupang Sagrajatam Saganaraganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindo Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Brindavanishwari Rishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I'll recite one more prayer, because we are in Radhadesh, or could say Radha Gopinath's temple. Shriman Rasa Rasa Rambi Vangsivata Tastita Karshan Venu Svanar Gopir Gopinata Sriyestunaha. Shri Srila Gopinath, originated the transcendental mellow of the Rasa dance, stands on the shore in Vangsivat and attracts the attention of the coward damsels with the sound of a celebrated flute. May they all confer upon us their benediction. Hari Om Tat Sat. Okay. Tasmat Omichudaritya. Anyway, let us little bit study what went before, because we're kind of in the middle of Krishna's sentence. Lord Krishna is speaking here to, as Prabhupada sometimes refers to him, Marshal Arjuna. They're on the battlefield, as you can see right there. This is kind of the situation. And you can see in the background, there's the armies. Maybe I can give you a little bit of background. I don't want to waste too much time, because, you know, this is Bhagavad Gita class, not Mahabharata. Although Bhagavad Gita is part of Mahabharata. Prabhupada says we need philosophy. We need to have the knowledge how to get out of the material world. Or you could say how to realize who we really are, how to realize ourself, also referred to as self-realization. And who are we? We are actually not this body. This is explained in the second chapter. The example that Krishna gives is that he says, Dhenasmin yatadai kamaram javaram jara. As a kid, as a youth, and as an older person, the soul, the embodied, so the soul, he goes through these different bodies. Tata, deha, deha means body. Antar means another body. Tata, deha, antarar, praptir. Praptir means obtain. So, he will obtain another body at the end of life. So we had a different body when we were young, like when we were a baby, and then we had different teeth, you know, like I'm a man, so I had different hair. There was no hair coming out of my mouth. There was no hair coming under my arms like that. So it's a different body, actually. And then, you know, you become a youth. You're very strong. Like I remember when I was 26, I was very strong. And now I'm 43, and I'm getting older, and my hairline is receding. My voice has changed, of course, since I was a kid. So many things are changing. I'm getting gray. Let's not get too much carried away with this, but you know what I'm talking about. I'm just trying to make the point, a little bit scientific, that we actually have a different body. We don't realize it, but it's a different body. And when we look in the mirror, it's the same person. And we call that person me, because we say it's my body, this is my hand. So, who is that me? So that's what I'm trying to explain. First, before we can really get into that, we have to first realize that we are in fact a spirit soul. And Plato, he is also referring to this, that you have the world of movement, that is this world, actually everything is always changing. Another Greek philosopher, he called it pantarai, everything flows. And Plato, Socrates, he made the distinction between what flows and what not flows. It's a philosophical point. In one sense, you could say everything flows. In one sense, you could say everything is spiritual. Still, we need to make the distinction, because actually what's going on, we are identifying with this body. Like you drive a Mercedes and somebody hits you from behind, and you feel like somebody hit me, but it just hit your car. You can buy a new spoiler, everything will be fine. But the first reaction is somebody hit me, and you get out of your car. First you check, of course, if everybody's all right. And then your first reaction generally is to become a little bit upset. You know, that why did you hit me? You know, what happened? So that we have that also, that people are honoring us or dishonoring us, and we get upset. Because we identify with our body. But generally these things, they relate to our body. They don't really relate to who we really are, which is the soul. So Plato makes a distinction between what is real and what is not real, or what is temporary and what is eternal. So the body, as I explained already, it is it changes. It, you know, the modes make it change. You can't stop it. Like you have to go to the bathroom, you have to breathe, you have to do so many things. I'm from Amsterdam. People say, I don't have to do anything. Prabhupada says, we have to die. You know, there's no way you can stop death. So, but technically, the soul doesn't die. The soul doesn't die. So, and Krishna explains there's no reason to believe that the soul will not get another body, because it already has obtained different bodies throughout this life that we live. So that is an example he gives. Another example he gives, I don't know the Sanskrit, but it's like clothes. You take on different clothes. Like, I have these clothes, they fit my body. So similarly, my body fits my consciousness. It fits my soul. So it's a little bit difficult in the beginning. I still don't really get it. But the more you get purified, the more you hear about these things, the more you start to realize it, that you're actually not the body. And just one more technical thing, because Bhagavad Gita is very profound. Perhaps you've already heard this, that you're not the body. But Krishna also explains, I mean, this you've heard, the body consists of earth, water, fire, air, and ether. Krishna also explains, and this is also explained in the 13th chapter, we also have a mind, an intelligence, and an ego, or rather a false ego. That I just explained. The false ego says, I am this body. And the real ego, that now we're kind of getting to the point, the real ego is, I am a soul, I'm an eternal spirit soul, and actually, my dharma, my eternal position, is to be a servant. More specifically, being a servant of Krishna. If you have some intelligence, you will agree that everybody is a servant. Even Barack Obama, supposedly the most powerful man in the world, he is the servant of the people. He's chosen by the people of the United States. And he has to serve the people. And actually, every president, I don't know if you know this, but they get gray in it like 4 or 5 years. If they have a double term, it goes even faster. Anyway, it's a really hard work. They're actually serving the people. And it's not a picnic. It has its perks, you know. But these are just details. So my point is that everybody is a servant. And if you are intelligent, then you realize that, because if the soul is there, it's not so difficult to grasp, then there must be somebody who put that soul there. Because it cannot be explained with materialistic philosophy. That's why the materialists... Actually, you know, there is a book, it's called Maya, and this is a scientist in our movement. Unfortunately, he left his body. And he tried to prove the existence of the mind. And there is actually proof that many governments or government agencies, they know that the mind exists. They just don't advertise it very much. Like, you know, especially in the 60s, you had remote viewing and things like that. It's a little bit of a controversial thing. But they actually know that there is a mind. But the problem is, they can't advertise it, because if there is a mind, then the step to a soul is very small. And they don't really want people to get too much into this. I mean, there is some Christian idea, and, you know, Jesus, he dies and then he goes to heaven. So there is, and, you know, the Christians also say you go to heaven. But if you really look at the philosophy, they actually believe that you go with this body to heaven. I don't know exactly how they understand it, how they think that it works, but like you have the Armageddon and then the resurrection, or the, you know, they said that all the, that's why they bury their bodies, because they said all the bodies, they will rise up to heaven. It's a little bit of a weird philosophy, and it's also not really in line with the Bible, because there's many times they speak about the soul. So, and like I said, you know, even Plato was before Jesus. He understood there is a soul, there is a body. And if you read it, Jesus is also saying this. You have to a little bit read between the lines. But Bhagavad Gita is kind of starting with that. You could say Jesus, Lord Jesus, and also Muhammad, they kind of paved the way for this philosophy. Because the people were actually quite fallen. I'm sorry to say, but it's just a fact. Like Prabhupada explains that Lord Krishna said, or Lord Jesus said, thou shalt not kill. It's one of the Ten Commandments. So that means people were killing each other. Otherwise, why you have to say, don't kill? So it was actually a very violent society. We know that. It was the Roman Empire. It wasn't a picnic. We know also how Jesus died. Mel Gibson made a movie about it. And that was normal. Many people were tortured like that. Sometimes we think, oh, Jesus was crucified, but thousands of people were crucified, just like Lord Jesus. The only difference is that Jesus experienced it in a different way. And according to some, he didn't actually die. Went to India. There's even a story like that. Anyway, the point is that there was a very violent society. And people couldn't understand so much. Also, you maybe have heard of this movie, The Life of Brian, which is by Monty Python. It's kind of a realistic movie, because it's not about Jesus, it's about Brian, who was also living during that time. Actually, this movie was sponsored also by George Harrison. They couldn't find a sponsor. And George Harrison, maybe you don't know that, but he is actually the devotee of Lord Krishna. He met Srila Prabhupada in the 70s, and he became very, very devoted to Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada really liked George Harrison very much. And throughout his whole life, he chanted japa. I don't know, you know about japa? So this is this mantra chanting, this mantra we chant. We chant it on beats. So George Harrison, he would be very, very diligently chanting on his beats. I'm not sure how diligently exactly. Yes, like that. I think every day he chanted. He was very devoted. He didn't advertise it so much. I think he also became a little bit discouraged by the movement. Like, I mean, just the detail, he gave us the manor. It's a big building in London. And he was a gardener, somebody told me. And he got a little bit upset because we didn't maintain the ground so well. Like, things like that, he got upset with it. Because we were always, like, preaching and this and that. And then we kind of, now we do it. Now we understand that it's important to keep the grounds up. But in those days, we were a little bit, it's called like a neophyte mentality. So we neglected things like that. And George got really upset about it. So, and other things also, which I don't want to get into, but that's why I didn't advertise it so much. But within his heart, and also when he left his body, his Hare Krishna friends were there actually. Yeah, it's not advertised. I'm a little bit upset about it, because there's many biographies and now even movies, and they don't talk about it. And it's very upsetting because it's a big part of George's life. Very big part. Anyway, this is just a side point, but My point was that it was a very violent culture, and that Lord Jesus kind of paved the way for us to understand this philosophy of that we are not the body, and that we are actually an eternal servant of Lord Krishna. Sometimes I tell Christians or atheists that we have inside information of who is God. We know who is God. It's described in these scriptures. And it's a little bit of a secret. Many people didn't know that Lord Krishna was God. But he is God. And this is another important aspect that I should just tell you, and then I'll try and start the class, is that one of the main things to understand about Krishna in this book is that Krishna's birth and activities are spiritual. He himself says, janma karma chame divyam. Janma means birth, and karma means activities. And divyam means spiritual. So he says, my birth, or in other words, his body, is spiritual. Our body is blood, flesh. Bones. His body is like the soul. In Sanskrit, it's called Sat-Chit Ananda Vigraha. It is a vigraha, a form, just like I explained in the beginning. The soul is a form. That is, the body is shaped like that. And it is eternal, which we read today, also in the verse. It is Chit, full of knowledge, and it's Ananda, full of bliss. So Krishna is like that too. That is what it means when the Bible says we were created in his image. It's actually the soul, it has that form. And the mind, this is actually the explanation of karma. This is a thing where Christians kind of, it sounds a little bit unrespectful, but they kind of lose it, or we lose them. They can't follow this. But the explanation of karma is that the mind travels with the soul. The subtle body, the mind, the intelligence, and the false ego. And that is what travels with the soul to the other body. So that is why you have, like, it's a very horrible thing to discuss, but sometimes you have babies and they die. And people don't understand it. But it's due to something, unfortunately the parents, but also that person that took birth in that baby body did something why it now needs to die. And it's the subtle body that kind of gets, you could say, punished. It's not really a punishment because it's just a reaction. Because if you light a match and you hold it too long in your fingers, you can say, oh, I'm being punished by the fire. But it's just a logical way of how the world is constructed. And actually, That I have to admit. We are actually being punished. This is a prison house. We don't really belong here. That is what I'm trying to explain. We belong in the spiritual world, outside of this universe, where there is a spiritual a reality, a spiritual world. And everybody there has that Sat-Chit Ananda Vigraha, you know, an eternal body full of bliss and knowledge, spiritual body. So actually what we need to do, we need to become Krishna conscious. We are now somewhat conscious. First we need to become conscious, and then we need to become Krishna conscious. We need to really realize who we really are. That is what this book is about. And it is spoken by Lord Krishna, who is God Himself. So that is my intro. Do you have any questions on that? Okay. You have any questions on that?
Actually, I kind of do.
Okay, go ahead.
What was the guy, David, what's his name?
Wilcox,
yeah. I don't know if you've ever heard of this gentleman, David Wilcox.
Wilcox.
He writes spiritual type things. And he was talking about the spirit residing in the pineal gland. Your head is small and tangled.
Okay.
You know, it looks like a pine cone. And he said that's kind of like the connection with the spirit.
Right.
And he said it figures very prominently in many cultures and all this. This pine cone shape and all like that. But it's like the spirit and the body is connecting to the great mass of spirit. You know, is that what he's trying to say?
I don't remember.
Right. Now, I think I get the gist of it.
Yeah.
I'll have to be honest with you, these things are rather technical. And I myself also practiced a lot of yoga, yoga exercises.
Mm-hmm.
The thing with this philosophy, with this book, is that it's completely transcendental.
Uh-huh.
And what that means is that it's mainly focusing on the soul.
Uh-huh.
And according to the scriptures, mm-hmm. and we accept them as the saying, Christian mm-hmm. terms as gospel, that the soul actually resides in the heart.
Uh-huh.
And it makes sense, because we all know, once the heart stops, that's it. And you even can have a clinical death, where the heart stops, but somebody still somehow lives, or sometimes you can call it a coma. But the fact is that the if you can determine if someone is dead or alive, is if the soul is still in the body. And if it leaves the heart, that's the end. And from there, it radiates the consciousness, which is completely spiritual. Now, what I explained, and that's where it gets more technical, but you have to, what Bhagavad Gita is teaching us, that you have to make a distinction between matter and spirit. So these things are technically actually material. Like I explained about the mind, it is a material body. And it has really nothing to do, actually, with the soul. It's not nothing, because that's why I'm saying it's rather technical. The way this universe is constructed, it's not so easy to explain.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to admit to you that I don't know exactly what these people are talking about. But what I can tell you is that it is actually material. It is not really, according to... if you look at it technically, it's not considered spiritual. So their process, generally, it is a material process of trying to control material energy.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's done in the right way, then it's called Sankhya Yoga,
mm-hmm.
which means that you're trying to kind of... And we have some examples of that in our scriptures. And these people, they were really profound yogis, and they actually disintegrated their material body, literally.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's one story of a woman, and she disintegrated her body, and it just became like some water was left.
Uh-huh.
But this is a very difficult process.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't recommend it in general. What we recommend is that, this is the meaning of yoga, that you simply connect with Lord Krishna. Was that what I explained in the beginning? We have inside information. And we don't realize it so much because it's so, you know, broadcast so widely and broadly and without any bar. Anybody can take it. That's why people, they take it a little bit cheap. But actually what is given here to us is the most profound knowledge. And like I said, we have inside information. Who is God? So in the Bhagavad Gita, it's explained very clearly that there is three spiritual realizations. And the first one is that God is energy. It's called Brahman. And that is what you refer to. That somehow we're connected with the greater spiritual kind of... It's not technically called a being, because it's the energy of the Lord. And then if you get more intelligent, then you realize there is a localized aspect of Krishna, which is called technically called the Param Atma. You have the Atma, the soul, and you have the Super Soul, or the Param Atma. And that is situated actually in every single atom. And it's also situated in the heart. It actually, the Super Soul travels together with the soul. And then what we learn from Bhagavad Gita and also from Srimad Bhagavatam is that there is another God realization, which is the ultimate God realization. And that is what I explained in the beginning, that God is actually Lord Krishna. And that He is in the spiritual world, and this is called Achincha Beda Beda Tattva. At the same time, He expands Himself. It's like a candle. It's the same fire, but it's a different candle. Of course, it's a material example. With Krishna, it's actually the same person. It's different bodies. But in one sense, it's the same body. They're just in different places. This is God. He can do that. So He appears here in India, and at the same time, He's still in the spiritual world. So this is God, and we simply actually have to love Him. And not only is this a very simple process, but this is our original position. So this other process, it can take you up to this so-called spiritual light, or Brahman. And actually it's not really a light. The way it's explained, it consists of, like, sunlight is not really light either. It's tiny particles of light. So that spiritual light is also particles of spiritual light. And that spiritual light, actually, the way it's explained, is actually spirit souls. So that spiritual light, it's not really that you become one, as they explain, but it's called actually a spiritual suicide. Because you actually get rid of the ego, the mind, and intelligence. And that is, in one sense, a good thing, because you get rid of the material mind and intelligence, ego. But that's why it's called the last snare. It's the last trick that kind of keeps us in the prison house, because we kind of kill our personality. We can't, but we try. We kind of think this is suffering, so, you know, let me just not do anything anymore. This is the Buddhist philosophy, and it's also referred to as Mayavada philosophy. It's two different schools, but it's basically the same thing. And the yogis are also, because this is a yogic teaching, they're also very much connected with specifically the Mayavada philosophy. So you become part of that light, and since there is no real interaction with different persons or souls, ultimately that person or that soul has to come back. So it's not really a solution. Yeah.
So another connection there.
No, it's that's what I'm saying. It's actually, we actually consider it a kind of a poisonous philosophy, because it's very similar to what Lord Krishna is saying, yet it's different. And that's what is with the poison. You have two glasses, and one is the poison and one not. And, you know, I give you the poison, and if you are not knowledgeable, you can't detect it. But if you have the knowledge, then you can. So, because that's what I'm trying to explain, it actually leads to spiritual suicide. And it will not make people happy. And another kind of side effect of that philosophy is that they say you can become God, we are all God, and that you can do anything and everything. And that kind of spoils the whole spiritual atmosphere. Because you know, being violent, usually they're not violent, but usually they're into sex. And sex and violence is not very spiritual. So it's a little bit difficult to accept, especially in the beginning. I'm from Amsterdam, so I know all about these things. But it really doesn't go together. Because, and it brings me back to the beginning, with sex it identifies us again with the body. Especially, as Prabhupada sometimes used to call it, the byproducts of sex. In other words, our children. Yeah, we get very much attached to them. And it kind of keeps us here inside the material world. So that is why generally it's the culture is that when you get older, like you two are doing, you go to temples, you go more, you focus more on spiritual life, just to become more detached from this family life. And this is a very important kind of part of the spiritual culture, that everyone tries to become detached of, as we call it, sense gratification, to gratify our senses. And that is just not possible. It's like, it doesn't really work because we are a spirit soul. But it's very intricate. Because it's so constructed that we think we're enjoying. Because we identify with the body, like I said, with the car. But it's very difficult to grasp it. Like I've been practicing for 16 years, I still can't really grasp it. I can explain it to you in theory, but actually realizing it is very, very difficult. But the more you read about these things and the more you listen to these kind of, you know, explanations and philosophy, the more you start to grasp it. And what you could also do is study the 13th chapter. Mm-hmm. It's a very technical chapter that explains more the difference between matter and spirit. And it explains in detail what matter actually is. That we kind of run out of time, so we don't have time now to get into that. But that I can recommend you. Yeah. I guess we also ran out of time to discuss the verse. At least we read it. I mean, we can just read it one more time just to conclude the class, because it kind of leads, the whole lecture leads up to this. The lotus feet of Vishnu are the supreme devotional platform. The performance of everything on behalf of the Supreme assures the perfection of all activity. So Prabhupada explains we should simply do everything for Krishna. And it's very simple, and Prabhupada says it's so simple that you could miss it. And it's just that simple. And what you can do, you can just ask yourself, what would I like to do, pause, for Krishna? So just simply ask yourself, what do you like to do? And it shouldn't be that difficult, because you're already experienced in life. So you know kind of the things that you like to do in your life. So you simply do those things for Krishna. Like maybe you like to paint. So paint Krishna. Paint Radharani. Paint the devotee. You know, these guys, they like to play music. So that's what they do. That's what we'll do right now. So it's not very difficult. And I guarantee to you, I'll be a little bit negative, you won't be happy unless you do this. And you'll also see that if you do this, you will be happy. So I'll invite you now to just stay with us a little bit longer. At 10 to 9, we'll open the curtains and then Krishna will be... I can't explain the whole thing, but they basically bring Krishna to bed. It's a very intimate thing. In most temples, they won't show you this. It's exclusive in this temple. But here we're very kind of personal and it kind of... Some pujaris still don't do it. I know the head pujari, she knows the standard and she still doesn't do it. But all the other pujaris, they do it. Because I don't know how it grew, but it's a very intimate thing. And they put out the beds. Usually they don't show that, but they put out the beds. It's a very intimate thing. And then we'll kind of sing, kind of like a lullaby, no? I mean, sometimes we get a little excited, and it can get a little bit, you know, wild. But the idea is that we greet Krishna to go to bed and to wish him good night. So that will start that right now. And you can either sit on the chairs or... you know, whatever. Usually the ladies are on this side and the men are on this side. So you know. So thank you very much. And if you have any more questions, we can discuss maybe later or tomorrow. I will be giving another class tomorrow. So if you have more questions, you can ask them tomorrow. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you.